Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled, Don't Limit God, was recorded at our 2009 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
There are students that actually come and they're sick, and I guarantee you they don't have to say anything. We got so many people loving God and seeking God, they'll pick up on it. And somebody will minister to you. If you have a financial need, if you're discouraged, it's hard to leave that building without somebody picking up on it and meeting the needs. It's just an amazing atmosphere because we are saturating it with the Word of God and we're trying to act on what the Word says. And we see a similar thing happen here. This is not abnormal. This should be normal Christianity. And again, we are way below what God intended for us to be. But most people in churches, they go in and there's fear there, there's strife, there's division, they're arguing over the color of the carpet or whatever. Brothers and sisters, unbelief is rampant in the body of Christ, and Jesus wasn't pleased with his disciples' inability to meet the needs. And the Lord's not pleased with the church where we stand today and our inability to represent him properly. And I'm including myself in that. I'm not doing everything the way that I should, but praise God, I hadn't arrived, but I've left. I'm still moving in that direction, and it's a goal of mine to see 100% of the people set free. Did you realize that in the United States, it was the church that started prisons? Because a couple of hundred years ago, they didn't have prisons, and they would publicly flog people, put them in the stocks, and do things like this. And if they stole a piece of bread three times, they'd just kill them. They'd lynch them. That's the way it was done. Because they didn't have prisons and stuff. So the Presbyterians actually started prisons to take people who were doing things wrong but were under duress and they were possible to rehabilitate. And they started locking them up and ministering the Word to them and teaching them the Word of God and helping them get back on their feet. And it became so productive that then the government saw that, hey, these people could be rehabilitated. So the government took it over and turned it into something that's now, if you aren't a crook when you go into prison, you will be by the time you get out. Because you know what? The church should have kept this responsibility, but instead we advocated and turned it over to the government. The church is the one that used to give welfare. They didn't call it that, but they used to show benevolence and help people. And it was the church that was helping people. And now we've given that over to the government so that we expect the government to support people. If the church was taking care of people, you wouldn't see the abuse. If the church was administering it in a godly fashion, if you don't work, don't eat. We would be helping people get back on their feet. We would be tying it to them, trying to do some things. And the church could administer this a lot better than the government could. Did you know that the church is the one that started schools? The church is the one that taught people to read and write. And yes, there was applications in the business world and the natural world, but primarily it was to read the Word of God. They used the Word of God as their readers. The church used the reading and writing to educate people so that they could understand the Word of God. And then we've turned it over to the government. People say today, you know, should there be Christian schools or public schools? Public schools really aren't a godly concept. That responsibility was given to the believers to train up their children and to teach them in the ways of God and do these kind of things. We should never have turned that responsibility over. And you know, the reason that some of the things in our nation are going the way that they're going is because the government has basically ruled God out of education. They've become humanistic. The Humanist Manifesto, I forget the exact timing of that thing, but it was a manifesto that they were going to eliminate God, and their own statements were that they were going to infiltrate the education system and turn people's opinion. And now we've got a generation that have done that. We're seeing this in our elections and stuff, that people are promoting things that aren't necessarily Christian. They're ungodly. But it's because we've got a group of people that have been raised without the foundation of a godly deal, because Christians advocated that responsibility. We've turned the responsibility for health over to doctors. We've turned the responsibility for emotional well-being over to pills. I am astounded at how many Christians live on pills and take pills for anything and everything. I've had as many as 10 people in a healing line out before the service say to me in a row what their problem is, and it's all from medication and the side effects and stuff. And I mean blindness, deafness, people being in wheelchairs, malpractice. Man, we have taken our faith away from God and put it in anything but God. I could go on and on for weeks, but I'm just trying to say that, you know what, God, we live in a culture of unbelief. And many of us don't even recognize it. Unbelief limits what God can do. And so this, if you were to read, I'm getting more into this than I wanted to do. So let me just refer to this. Over in the 9th chapter of the book of Mark, this same instance is given. And in Mark's account of the same thing, when the boy was brought to Jesus, he fell on the ground and wallowed and foamed at the mouth. And Jesus asked him, how long has this been since he's had it? And he said, since a child. Sometimes he falls into the water and sometimes into the fire. But if you can do anything, all things are, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus responded by saying, shot right back at him, says, it's not if I can do anything, if you can believe, all things are possible. Jesus wasn't about to put all of this responsibility on himself. That father needed to believe. He needed somebody to be standing in faith. And that father said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And the Lord went ahead and cured this boy and cast the demons out. The disciples came to Jesus and they said down here in chapter 17 in verse 19, it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, it's because of your unbelief. Boy, that's a major statement. Again, I hesitate to even bring this stuff up because this is one of the greatest principles God's ever told me, and it's not what I'm wanting to talk about this morning. I'm trying not to preach on it. It's not the fact that they didn't have faith. It's the fact that they had unbelief. Now, if you have the NIV, I'm not against any translation, but if you have the NIV, it says it's because of your little faith. That's not what it's talking about. Because the rest of the verse goes on to say, for I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. The whole point that he's making is you don't need this huge faith. If your faith is only the size of a mustard seed, that's enough to cast a mountain into the sea. You don't need big faith. You don't need this huge faith. You just need a simple, pure faith that isn't diluted or contaminated with unbelief. A pure faith that doesn't have unbelief. So the problem isn't our lack of faith. You know, if you're here, this is a Saturday morning. I'm not in somebody's church. This isn't the nod to God crowd. You aren't getting, you know, brownie points for this. You're here because you're a fanatic, or you were drugged here by a fanatic. You believe in the healing power of God. You believe in the miraculous. You've got faith. You've got enough faith to see the dead raised, to see the blind eyes open, to see healing happen. You don't have a faith problem. What you've got is an unbelief problem. And some people think, well, if I've got unbelief, that means automatically I don't believe. That's not so. You can believe and disbelieve at the same time. And you've got to get rid of the unbelief. Most people are trying to build faith. And that what they do, if they have a need, they call hundreds of people and get them to pool their faith together. You know why you have to do that? Because a little unbelief will leaven the whole lump. A little bit of unbelief goes a long ways. And so if you're going to live in a culture of unbelief, well, then it's going to take a lot of people praying and agreeing to help overcome this thing. The other way is just to get rid of the unbelief and get so focused on the things of God that just a little mustard seed amount of faith is enough, and you don't have to call up a prayer chain and have thousands of people agree to receive. Some people think, well, I don't spend a lot of time in unbelief. Man, you watch television, they'll come on and they'll tell you it's flu season. Have you gotten your flu shot yet? They've been talking about all of this economic problem, saying it's the worst collapse since the Depression. That's not true. I gave stats the other night about the 80s. Unemployment was up to 10.8%. Foreclosures were much higher than they are now. It's just a lie. You're listening to unbelief. You are being fed fear and doubt and unbelief. Does anybody remember Y2K? Oh, the body of Christ was convinced that was the end of the world. This was the beginning of the tribulation. That's unbelief. It was lies. It was deception. Does anybody remember the bird flu? Avian flu? And I have a quote from a guy on the BBC. And he was one of the leading experts for the British healthcare system. And they said, is this going to mutate into a strain that will infect humans? Will there be a pandemic? And he said, there is no question of whether or not it'll happen. It's just a matter of when. It could be 1 year or 2 years at the most, but 1/3 of the world's population will die through the bird flu. That was given October of 2005. That was over October of 2007. And I read a report in the world, in the USA Today, in October of 2007, that at that time there was 12 human deaths worldwide. Quite a difference from a pandemic. That's a lie. That's unbelief. And we are constantly being fed this stuff. They are magnifying. They tell you only the bad news. Did you know that there were less deaths in Iraq military last year than there were in some months prior to that? And you don't even hear about all of that stuff. They don't tell you if there's an improvement and if things are going good. But if things were bad, if there was a major deal, if something looked bad to make America look bad, I guarantee you our news media would report it.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on taking the limits off of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1060C or DVD series R3204D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album R1060D. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK150 titled Seeing with Your Heart when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to thank those of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, it's your giving that has enabled us to reach 2.2 billion people on this earth. But there are more that we can reach. There's so much more that we can do. We want multiple broadcasts. We want to be able to just saturate the airwaves so that people can't avoid this truth. And it just takes a lot of money. We are about halfway there to our goal of just making this, putting it in the face of people so that they have to confront these truths. I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a monthly partner with us. That's how God supplies our needs, is through our partners. And if you would call, we would love to share with you and have you become a monthly partner with us.